Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Again.
We always love to see a cutsy in high spirits.
Got to be in high spirits, Tick. Got to be in high spirits. Not always the case, but doing my best to be in a good mood. Life just comes at you faster when you're having a good time. There's nothing that can hold you back.
Did you just hit us with a Ferris Bueller little quote there? Life comes at you fast. You stop and take a look every once in a while. You just might miss it. Well, what's going on? What's going on this morning? What are you so? What's
just another Bob to Sports episode just dropped. So a lot of feedback from that. We had one of our most grueling challenges to date this past Monday. That's going to come out next week. We did an 18 hot dog challenge. You can tell the bigger ticket. It is going to be a special video.
It is. You will be happy to hear that.
I think this video is going to take over the internet. I have no lower expectations than that. I think it's just absolutely sheer comedy from start to finish.
So you do two dogs a hole for 18 for nine holes?
No, Bob and I each have to eat nine hot dogs in nine holes.
Oh, I thought you said 18 hot dog challenge.
It's okay. 18 total. It's an 18 hot dog challenge in nine holes. So we each have to eat nine each.
Oh, so 18 total between the two of you. Got
it. Still outrageous. Wow. And by the way, Ticket, you saying that you could do that easily is, by the way, one of the more absurd things that I've ever heard from you before. I saw that in our group text. We were talking about it. Ticket goes, you know, my body's been through a lot in the past. I'm pretty sure it could handle nine hot dogs.
If you're going to quote me right. I said, my body used to be a trash can and I can access that muscle whenever I want.
These were these were big time Frankfurt, like bratwurst, dude.
Bob said they weren't like Nathan's July 4th hot dog, which is what I was referring to be fair. He said they were more like bratwurst with a brioche bun.
Frankfurt brats. And then the bun. And so think about it. Think about getting a package of buns, what comes normally in 12.
Right.
It's essentially eating an entire package of buns almost, and then nine hot dogs on top of it. And he started us off with bacon. He was going to do them all bacon wrapped. I said, it was ridiculous. Delicious. We did one. I said, don't do another one bacon wrapped. I mean, that's just.
So he did do one bacon wrapped?
Bob and I, the first one we did was bacon wrapped. And then I did another one, which had peppers on it, like grilled peppers, which was great.
Jeez, you guys are suckers, man. It's like going to an all you can eat buffet and filling up on bread. They're putting the bread so you eat less.
Well, we had to eat the bread. We had to eat the bun. You have to eat the bun.
I just mean the bacon wrap. Okay, so the bun, did you guys go Joey Chestnut style?
You're going to have to watch. I mean, it's like one of those things where, like, for some reason, I was bloated to start the day off. I decided to get Five Guys the night before like an idiot. And I was just logging this burger around in my gut the next day. And I was bloated. And Bob's like, all right, you ready? I was like, I'm not ready. I don't even think I can eat two hot dogs right now. So it ends up becoming like a sheer mental warrior. Like, you need to like will yourself to overcome the adversity and be like convincing yourself that you're not full, even though you're full as fuck. So the first hot dog was a pleasure. It was a delight.
Sure.
That was the bacon wrap dog. Then you start going to two and three and you're like, okay, now I'm starting to feel a little discomfort. Four is a bitch. Mm-hmm. When you get to five, you're like, I'm basically just past five weight. And then that's when the mental things start to play a part. And it's just, I tell you, it's a grueling challenge. I'm not going to say anymore because I don't want to ruin it. But I tell you what, like, it's not for the faint of heart. And like, I would not suggest your average person to go out and try this challenge because
four is when you take an assessment of your body and you go, oh, I'm no longer comfortable. I'm no longer comfortable. What a mistake this was.
At four, like, okay, this is not a game. This is, you know, and you're doing the challenge. So like, it's all being filmed. You have the jet, like, so you can't just like wave the white flag. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just be like, that's it. That's all. Like, you're like, I got it. And then the toughest part, Tick, which you don't even think is, we're trying to break a score of four over par on the nine holes. And by the time you get to the fourth, fifth, sixth hole, like, you're logging around. It's like logging around a child in your gut. It's like so hard to swing mentally. You know, the grease is getting to you. You know, you're disoriented, discombobulated. I mean, I was drunk off of Frankfurters. It was out of control. So that's going to come out next week. That's going to be hysterical.
We won't give away any more of that. But what we can say is that your partner in crime, our good friend, Bob Berger, Brilliantly Dumb, went home after this challenge and got himself a Wendy's Baconator. Himself a burger with the Baconator fries.
But do you realize what he did? He got high as fuck. He ordered Pasta Sisters.
Yeah, that's right.
He ordered a bolognese from Pasta Sisters and doubled down and did fucking Wendy's. By the way, I had ice pops that night for dinner. I had ice pops. I couldn't move. I didn't eat till the next day, like later on in the day, and I barely ate. And by the way, since I've done that, I've been like a man reborn because I felt like such a bag of shit. I've been hitting the gym. I've been trying to eat healthy. I got a wedding coming up. I got to fit in the suit. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I got to get myself back here, man. Like, you feel like, you know, there's a triumphant sense that you're trying to achieve by doing the challenge, but in the process of doing so, you're putting your body through living hell.
Yeah.
And needless to say, regardless whether the challenge or not was completed, at the end of the day, you know, you're going to feel like shit. So I've had a 180. I've had a bit of a turnaround. I'm trying to, you know, trying to get back on track here. People say, how are you trying to get back on track? You just did a hot dog challenge 4 days ago.
If there's one thing we can take away from this, it's that weed is a hell of a drug, and it'll make you do things that you never thought you'd do.
The other thing I want to take apart 100% of what you said, but is Joey Chestnuts is one of the greatest athletes of all time.
Oh, 100%.
To put down 70 fucking hot dogs in a span of what is, are they doing it in 20 minutes?
He does it. Yeah. I think or is it 10 minutes?
That is insanity. I cannot even comprehend how the human body does not reject it. Like, I don't know. Like, that is next level. Like,
he has the Michael Jordan of esophagus. His esophagus can just take a mental and physical pounding and push through. Well, what I've always wanted to know is, do those guys, even the ones who eat 20 in 10 minutes, that's a fuckload.
That's unbelievable.
Do these guys go pull the trigger like an hour later or like as soon as the cameras are off? Or do they take it like a man? What do they do?
I don't know, Tick. I don't know how it's possible to eat that much in that short span of time.
And what kind of shit are you taking later? I mean,
these guys are training. There's no doubt about it. They're training. You have to train for that.
Of course they're training. But when Joey Chestnuts puts down 76 hot dogs, there's no amount of training for the kind of shit that you're going to take later.
Oh, this guy needs like 3 cans in one. He's probably got a royal throne at home. I mean, he probably goes, it's probably sponsored by Nathan's. It's probably like velvet lined, you know.
Yeah, this guy's not hitting a Johnny on the spot. I mean, this guy's
like a lifetime supply of Charmin Ultra.
Why has he not had a deal with Charmin? That would be one of the best. Enough of the shitting bears in the woods. Let's get Joey Chestnut on there. He'd sell. Oh, like hotcakes. One thing I wanted to say about last week, I don't know about you, but I got just eaten alive, like dead of summer, just mosquitoes eating me alive about the Joe Frazier thing, Muhammad Ali. Yeah, it was Sonny Liston.
Yeah, Sonny Liston.
What are you going to do, folks? I'm 29.
I got I got hit up a couple times about that too, but not to the same extent, but yeah. That was a mistake on our end, but you know what?
No one. What are you going to do?
I mean, we're average guys who love sports. I'm not Bob Costas coming in here.
Love the sportsman. We're like you. We're not going to get it all right. But we actually do, for the first time, I think, in the history of the sportsman, we have breaking news that we are breaking first here on the sportsman. And that is that Joseph Cutsy DeMar is announcing his retirement from sports betting. The news comes just 1 week into March Madness. And talk us through this retirement. I don't think any of us saw it coming.
It's definitely a semi-retirement at the very least, but yeah, I got to put myself on hold here. I just can't. My blood pressure, my heart, you know, I just can't take it, Tick. I can't physically handle it. You know, I mean, it got to the point where it was at that last Arizona game. And I was just like, this is the thing is you try to get your mind and you try to assess these games like, okay, they're underdogs who are covering left, right, and center. Okay. So what dogs are going to win and what favorites are going to roll and cover? You start basically fading yourself. You start deceiving yourself and start going against. So, well, no, this team had such a bad game last time. So Vegas has put the line like this. So then that way people are not going to think that they're going to come out hot, but it's an anti-verse. And then you're looking at it and you're like, that's not the case. These guys are just coming out and playing. That's it. That's all. I'm in my head. Until further notice, the account has been frozen. I feel a little lighter, Ticket. I feel a little like more jubilant. I feel just like the air is a little crisper. Talk to me in a month. I'm
giving you less time than Tom Brady did to come out of retirement.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
I think you're coming in under 40 days. I think we're going to see a comeback, but it's, you know what's really coming up though. You know, once March Madness is gone, you don't like baseball and that's Masters. All there is. Yeah. Okay. But that's not like something that's going to last a long time. Oh, I mean, it's 4 days.
And then some of the funnest.
It's not an entire season of something. You know what I mean? It's not like football is very far away.
Football is very far away. So I have a cushion and I could care less about baseball. I've said it many times. I'd like to at some point in my life.
I bet you place a bet on baseball at some point in the next 40 days. I bet you do. I bet you do. I've got an inside guy who knows.
You're just trying to make me say I'll take that bet. So all of a sudden I'm out of retirement right then and there. I'm not like you and Bob. You guys are big time baseball guys. I'd love to get into baseball. I've said it from the start. It's too long of a season. There's too many games to me. I love playoff baseball. I love October. I think it's the best time of the year.
You did dabble last year though. There was a period, a stretch, I feel like in July where you were like, I think the Nats are going to do it today.
I thought it was the year. I was dabbling. I was getting into it. And, you know, before you knew it, that ship sailed very quickly. So, but lots to talk about this week on the Sportsman, Tick. First and foremost, I want to hear your take on this NFL offseason. To my knowledge, has been one of the wildest, most unpredictable offseasons that I can remember, if I'm being honest. I mean, just from some of the moves that are happening here, just if you would ask me if Davante Adams would have been a Raider before, you know, a few weeks ago, I would have said, you're out of your goddamn mind. Now Tyreek Hill is a Miami Dolphin. And if I felt like it came out of nowhere, like it was just no preface to it. There was no like lead up to it. It was just all of a sudden, boom, breaking news. Chiefs have allowed Tyreek Hill to start talking. And now he's with the Dolphins. I mean, the AFC is king right now. And I know Tyreek has stayed within the AFC, but you have guys like Russell Wilson going to the Broncos. I mean, it's just crazy. what's your thoughts on this, Tick?
These front offices are treating the game like it's fantasy football right now. I mean, people are just moving around left and right, like you alluded to. I've never seen anything like it. This Tyreek Hill thing, I thought it was hilarious that yesterday early in the day, you heard that they were talking and immediately vied for the Packers. And then like an hour later,
I should have known this team never fucking does anything.
Sad. Your receiver core is sad. Well, no, I think right now, but I'm sure that'll change.
I have a couple theories which I can share with you in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get there. But this Tyreek Hill thing, I've gone back and forth on my thoughts about who's winning and who's losing. I remember early in the fantasy season when Tyreek Hill was playing really well, you told me to trade him because I can get a lot for him. And what are the chances he continues to play like that? And it's kind of true. I feel like the Kansas City Chiefs just sold him very high. And I don't think he's going to be anywhere near the player he was because he's not going to have Patrick Mahomes. Is he still going to be a very good player, especially alongside Jalen Waddle and Gesicki? You know, he'll get open and he'll get his touches, but he's not going to be the same guy and he's not going to be worth the highest paid wide receiver in the league. So from that sense, I really do think that the Chiefs won there, but I do think the Dolphins now have a window to figure out what exactly they have in Tua, and if he's not the guy, quickly get a new guy and maybe make a run at this thing. They got a lot of great pieces on defense as well as offense now, and they can really make a run with this new head coach. But the biggest loser to me is Patrick Mahomes. I mean, what, he's got Juju Smith-Schuster now, who's a good receiver, but he's got health questions. Well,
they have some good young players. That Byron Pringle, I think, is going to be a big player.
He's on the Bears. He went to the Bears.
He got rid of him? Oh, that's right.
He went to the Bears.
Well, Mecole Hardman is good.
Mecole Hardman's a nice piece. And Juju Smith-Schuster's still very good. And they haven't
utilized him. He always has Kelsey. I mean, Kelsey is the biggest security blanket ever.
I know, but a lot of these guys get open because Tyreek's doubled. You got to worry about Tyreek. So,
I mean, Packers, same thing with losing Devontae. It's going to make it harder for everybody. I agree 100%. Now, if Tyreek would have gone to a team like, say, the Packers, obviously that didn't happen. But then I think he's worth what you can, because Aaron can throw the downfield ball as good as anyone. Mm-hmm. Tua can't make the downfield throws on a consistent basis like a Mahomes or Rodgers can. So it'll be interesting to see how they utilize him, because sometimes they utilize him on a little go route or a little out route or a little slant, and he has such speed that he can break up field and he can still do his thing. So I think you'll see a lot more of that out of him. Jalen Waddle's a great piece, and don't forget Gesicki is a great piece as well. And they just got Mostert. So kudos to the Dolphins.
And Chase Edmonds too. Yeah, they're loaded, man. They're loaded.
Kudos. They're changing their dynamics. They're focusing on their offense, and what it's doing is it's allowing an opportunity, like you said, for Tua to really show if with the weapons that they're giving him, if he can be the guy. And they're going to give him this year, because they traded for Teddy Bridgewater too. So
it's true.
So I don't know if there was like a clear cut defined, this is our starter, this is our backup. So I think it gives Tua an opportunity. He has pieces. He's got a new coach coming in that you love. I'm not as crazy about. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he does, but it's good to see some teams shifting of the power, and hopefully some teams that have not, you know, historically been good the last 5 to 10 years could potentially be playoff teams now moving forward.
Yeah, and they made a nice little upgrade on the offensive line with Armstead too from the Saints. They're making moves, man. And I think that especially Tyreek Hill is the kind of guy who is going to be as good, as creative as your offense is. If you play a very boring offense, I think he's going to have a hard time getting open. And I think Kelsey helped him. They helped each other get open a lot of the time and that back and forth. So now he's got Waddle, but it's going to come down to McDaniels and how creative he's going to get with that offense. If he gets very creative, I think that's going to be a devastating offense. And we're going to find out, like we said, exactly what Tua is. And that's another place you got to get creative with Tua, is because he's just nothing special. He's not going to turn nothing into something. You got to get creative. You got to do all different kinds of trick plays with him, because he's just not that special. And if he doesn't make a move early on in the season, if they find themselves 1-3, I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to quickly find himself in that starting role, because they're all in right now. And who knows how long they're going to keep a lot of these pieces in place. So they're in win now mode. And if Tua ain't doing it, then Teddy's going to be the guy. And if Teddy's not the guy, they're going to be drafting somebody very soon. So we'll see. And then moving on, even after Tyreek, we got Matt Ryan going to the Colts. Now, the Colts are a team that have been ready to win ever since they got Phillip Rivers 1 year ago, or on that 1 year contract a couple years ago. They're like, we just need a quarterback. That's it. The rest of the team is ready.
Well, they went so for, good.
But they didn't win. And then Carson, he played very well, but he just still made enough just scratch your head moments.
They needed to win at the end of the year.
Scratch your head moments that they couldn't do it.
Showed his true colors.
So is Matt Ryan the guy for the Colts to make that awesome roster finally go deep?
I will say this. They have one of the better offensive lines in football. A guy like Matt Ryan is not mobile. Neither is Carson Wentz. So you saw that they have that in place for him. If he can sit in the pocket, he can still make throws. He's never been a mobile guy. He's not going to be able to, like you said, about Tua, he's not going to be able to make something out of nothing. Matt Ryan is like, he's got feet. His feet are like made of stone. He can't move. Like as soon as someone's there, it's an automatic sack. He can't even juke or jive. So they're going to need that offensive line to hold. I do think with Jonathan Taylor being so good, teams have to respect him and they have to stack the box a bit. That will help open up the field for Matt Ryan a lot. So I think what you'll see with Matt Ryan is something similar to what you saw with Carson Wentz. I think he'll play pretty good. I think he'll have a good enough season, but the long road, he's not the guy to rely on for the long haul. I would have preferred to see them, and I know this might be controversial, but they should have gone out and gone Baker Mayfield. I mean, Baker Mayfield.
Oh, I hate that.
Why?
I just think Matt Ryan is a guy you can depend on. I mean, I
do
think
you really think Matt Ryan's a dependable
compared
quarterback?
Compared to Baker, is the biggest question mark I've ever seen.
I think though that Baker needs a change of scenery. I think he needs to get out of Cleveland, which obviously now is going to happen. And now there's
rumors exactly
that he might
what
even
I
be
felt
going
like
to
with
Pittsburgh.
Matt Ryan's a former MVP. He's been to the Super Bowl. This guy,
he's 37.
Just needed a change of scenery, and he's proven that he can do it. This guy needed to get out of Atlanta because Atlanta is a mess. Like, and now he's out of there.
If the Colts got Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that would have been great.
They would be Super Bowl contenders.
Of course. I still think they will be this year.
No, they won't. No,
I think they will. Ryan. I mean, the AFC is tough. There's so many good teams, but I think they have what it takes. It just comes down to how they play.
They won't even win their division this year.
I don't know, man. I think they're going to really surprise people. Well, and I don't think they even should be
Tennessee's
surprising
Tennessee's a better
people.
Team than they are.
Oh, Tannehill, don't trust him. Don't trust him as far as I can throw him. That guy is not the answer. They need to move on from that guy. And if Derrick Henry needs to stay healthy, that's a question mark too. I don't think there's many question marks with the Colts. I really don't. I think you know exactly what you're getting. And I like them a lot. But yeah, I mean, this AFC West thing, that's going to be such a... So who do you think, moving back to the AFC West, all these moves, the Chiefs losing Tyreek Hill, who do you think the top dog in the AFC West is? Are the Chargers now emerged as the best? Do you like the Broncos with Russ? Or is Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs still at the top? The Raiders got Devontae, you know.
Lot of people are going to say it's the Broncos. Because of Russell Wilson coming, but I do think there is such a thing as growing pains. And I do think there is a thing as like learning a new system and a new place. And he's been with Seattle for so long. I think the Broncos will be a playoff team. I'm all in on the Chargers this year. I think Herbert is the real deal. Mm-hmm. I think they have a great running back in Eckler and Mike Williams and then Keenan Allen. And I think they have pieces on defense with Bosa and Ingram. I think they have pieces that are going to start manifesting themselves. And I think Herbert, another year, more maturity. I think that he is ready to take that next step. They are the team, aside from the Chiefs. The Chiefs, to me, are still the favorites, I think, to win the division. But
okay, so you like the Chiefs still the most.
Yeah, I still think the Chiefs.
In that. Okay.
I think I'm just saying if there's like a new dog in that division that is going to potentially uproot where, you know, Kansas City is, I think it's the Chargers. But, that's the toughest division in football because, you look across the board, the Raiders, the Broncos, the Chiefs, and the Chargers. I mean, all four of those could be potentially playoff teams. Raiders, you look at the Raiders, who they have on offense now, and I'm not the biggest Carr supporter, but like they have between Hunter Renfro, Darren Waller, then you have Davante Adams, you add that to the mix. I mean, they have some firepower, man. They have some guys who can make it. And even like, I think Zay Jones is not a bad piece as well.
I don't either. I kind of like him. I don't know why he's sort of always forgotten about, but I like him too. And I think he's only going to get more open now that Devontae is there. I'm with you, though. I think it's still the Chiefs. I think that I like to look at head coach and quarterback, and as long as you still got Andy Reid and you still got Patrick Mahomes, I think they're top of that division. And like you said earlier, I think Mecole Hardman's going to step up. He's not going to be Tyreek Hill, but he's going to really fill that void best he can. And I think he's going to be a nice piece. And obviously
Juju's competent too.
Yeah, but the thing that holds me back on the Chargers, because I think Herbert is a future Hall of Famer. I'm all in on that kid. I have question marks only about Brandon Staley, the head coach of that team. I think he could take all that talent and drive it right into the ground with his extremely aggressive play calling. I think it's scary. I think it's dangerous, and I think it's scary. And I think it could. They missed the playoffs this year because of him. So
went for more fourth downs than any coach in the league.
I'm not going to bet on him to outsmart Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. I'm just not going to do it. So I'm sticking with the Chiefs, but I agree with all the things you said. It really could be any one of those teams. Broncos, I agree with the growing pains thing. And Derek Carr, I'm not all the way on him, but that is an explosive offense. So and
injuries going to be a big thing. Yeah. If Mahomes goes down, that team goes from the top team to probably in the bottom tier of that division.
Oh, it's like the Packers losing Aaron. I mean, it's immediately like, who's the backup there? I don't even know.
I know. You know. The gentleman Flynn? No, it's Jordan Love. And
in Kansas City.
In Kansas City. I don't know. I don't know. Mahomes is the guy.
Yeah, so if he goes down, I don't.
But that's what I'm saying is that injuries could dictate a big amount of like in terms of like who's going to uproot. You know what I mean? I think like obviously you can say that about anything, but I think all the teams have a shot early on. Yeah, those division games are all going to be prime time now.
No doubt. I mean, they're salivating at the mouth at every single AFC West game there is. They move them all to Sunday nights and Monday nights and. So we'll see. But we both got the Charger, or that we both have the Chiefs still top dog there, and we'll have to wait and see. But let's move to what caused you to retire from sports betting. Let's move to a little March Madness, okay? Because that first weekend, Thursday through Sunday, that delivered for me. I mean, that was awesome, as it always is, but it was just awesome. I loved every single thing about it. You got your Cinderellas, you got your favorites still all in it. It was awesome. Who now readjusting, our brackets are all messed up. I'm sitting in fourth place. I got a real shot at the top, but our brackets are all crazy and mixed up. Kentucky threw a lot of people off, you know, a lot of people lost. Who do you now like reevaluating? Who's your favorites?
Let's go back to our initial picks, right? Cause I think that's good to look at.
We can look at those. Guys.
Ticket had Baylor, Kansas, UConn, Villanova, and UCLA.
Yeah.
So UCLA looks very good.
I didn't have Arizona in there.
No, you did not.
I have them winning my bracket. So that's keeping me alive. But I'm saying,
let's just stick with the sportsman picks that we gave. So I'll say this, Villanova looks very good. UCLA looks very good. UConn obviously out and Baylor out. You still have Kansas. So you have three, you have three out of five. Mm-hmm. Cutsy now, I have Arizona. Mm-hmm. By the way, they won by the fucking nick of their balls.
They did. That was fun.
One of the better games I've watched. It was back and forth. TCU was unbelievable, hanging in there. Auburn, I have. They're done. They're toast. They came out flatter than a pancake against the Miami Hurricanes. Texas Tech, I still have. They were in a dogfight against Notre Dame. Baylor's out in Duke. So I still have Baylor, Texas Tech, and Arizona. Ticket, you have Baylor, Kansas, and sorry, not Baylor. I have Duke, Texas Tech, and Arizona. You have Kansas, Villanova, UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like your picks better at this point.
Well, UCLA lost Juarez, who is their rock. So
is he gone for good now?
I don't know
now?
If he's gone for good, but, I mean, it didn't look good. I mean, if they continue to win, they might get him back later. I cannot imagine he's playing tomorrow night. I just can't. And that's another thing quickly I want to touch on. I said it to our group chat. They got the schedule so right last week. This week, we've got 2 7 o'clock games and then 2 9 o'clock games. Why are the any games on at the same time? Why do
Eastern?
I have to flip
That's
back
gotta be
and
Eastern.
Forth? Yeah, but they're still on at the same time. West Coast, there's two games on at a time. They should space it out so we get one game, then the next game, then the next game.
Because it's prime time.
What are they flipping through for?
They're trying to keep it prime time ticket, I think.
Yeah, but last week it wasn't prime time. They had games on all day and everyone watched.
Well, they had so many games going. That's why.
I just think there's still, even prime time, should be no games overlapping, or maybe overlapping by like half an hour.
So we're, you would prefer to do like two games on a Wednesday, two games on a Thursday, as opposed to four games on a Thursday that's overlapping? No,
just start them slightly earlier. Start, do a 5 o'clock and then a 6:30 and then a 7:30. Yeah, but they, and then
all these things are done based on views and ratings. Like, people are at work at that time. You can't put
people were at work last week. People find a way to watch March Madness. I'm not going to listen to this. This is just ridiculous. There's no reason that there should be a 9:39 game. And I'm not saying that because it's too late for the East Coast. I'm just saying there should not be a 9:39 tip off followed by a 9:59 tip off. Half an hour is the only space I'm getting between those two games. That's ridiculous. Give me at least an hour so I can watch a full. I don't want to be flipping back and forth in the Sweet 16. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying I'm trying to rationalize it and understand why they're doing it. And that to me seems like the only reason.
I guess.
But yeah.
It's sort of a mess.
The juice is flowing. Not so much for me. I probably won't even. I got to work tonight, so I'm not even going to watch. But yeah,
well, tell me this though. What do you think of the Cinderellas that are still left? You know, the 11s, the 15s. We've got Michigan. We've got St. Peter's. We've got Iowa State and Miami at a 10 seed. Those are all sort of your quote unquote Cinderellas. Which one of those do you see, or has the best chance, or has the best roster to continue forward and really make a push towards the Final Four?
St. Peter's is playing a tough team, I think, this week. I got to look. I think St. Peter's is going to keep winning.
You do? You like St. Peter's?
Yeah, I think they're – I think
Cutsy likes those scrappy kids from Jersey City, huh? You like them.
I think they are – I like the coach's demeanor. They play Purdue, and I would take St. Peter's.
Purdue has a high-powered offense. They got to play good D.
This is also why I'm retired. I think they could at least cover the spread, but I like St. Peter's remaining. I think that they're scrappy. Their coach believes that they should be there. And when you have a coach like that, sometimes it's enough to propel the team to move forward and play well. I think it's going to be a tight game. I'm not saying that they're going to win, but I think that they're a team that could, you know, they could be the George Mason of this year. They could be like the Oral Roberts of this year. You know, they could be
St. Bonaventure,
the Bonnies, you know, so they could be the team that could really make a splash and do something. I think for sure they're a team to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you? Who do you like?
Yeah, Iowa State and Miami are playing each other, so obviously one of them will go to the Elite
Eight. Miami's going to kill Iowa State.
You think so?
Miami is such a better team. I don't know what the spread is on that, but I would take Miami over Iowa State five ways till Sunday. Iowa State's garbage. They just played Wisconsin team that couldn't score, and it was just
yeah, Miami. It's pretty amazing. It's hard not to fall in love with the story that they won two games last year, and now they're, you know, playing lights out. They won 20 games this year. So, but I agree with you. I mean, that's a tough flip. I don't think they're going to beat Miami. I think Miami probably will go the furthest of these. Michigan's got a tough draw against Villanova, but I mean, man, Juwan Howard's got them playing with some heart. Those kids from Michigan, man. Those kids from Ann Arbor are playing with some heart right now. And well, I would gone not through be some surprised. Adversity. I would not be surprised if Michigan took out Villanova. I wouldn't. I like Tennessee them the most.
Was a lot of people had Tennessee as the
they
team.
Did. Tennessee was a very good team.
I mean, they looked even like after the first half, like they were going to roll.
Yeah.
And Michigan is just, I mean, sometimes it's good when you face adversity in the middle of the season, losing your coach like that, that might be just enough to get you to the next step. You know what I mean? Like, cause I would have said that, you know, Tennessee would have rolled over Michigan. No questions asked.
Yeah.
That's March Madness, man. That's what this tournament's all about.
That is March Madness, and that's why we watch. All right, moving on here. We could either do NHL trade deadline stuff, or we could do vaccine mandate stuff with Kyrie.
No,
you want to go to NHL?
I want to talk about what I think the Packers should do for you know, moving forward for receiver wise. I want to get
men are leaving hockey out to dry.
No, well, hockey still, we have a week. We could touch hockey next week.
All right. A lot of big moves in hockey. A lot of big moves. The trade deadline just passed, but hit me with the Packers. Hit me with what you got with the Packers and what you think they're going to do.
and I want to hear your thoughts on this. I'm hearing a lot of rumors. Now, I love the rumor mill when it comes to trades, especially with the Packers, even though like one out of 50 times it actually is true because this team doesn't make plays on players. I heard the Packers might be trying to make a trade for Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf, one of those two receivers in Seattle. And I think if they could get them and then pick up a receiver in the first round, you know, I don't know if they'll get Olave, if he'll fall to them. That might be a bit of a step, but maybe we get Williams. Maybe we get one of these high powered, you know, receivers. I think that could be really enticing. Imagine DK Metcalf with the Packers with Aaron. Oh,
my immediate thought here is whoever has to man the helm in Seattle is just being hung out to dry. It's just at Drew Lock has zero shot. Oh,
no chance. No chance.
I mean,
the Packers have some cap space. They have some picks. You know what I mean? That they just got from Devontae. I would love to see something like that.
I'd love a Tyler Lockett for you. I like DK Metcalf the most or more than Tyler Lockett, but I think for the Packers, I think Tyler Lockett would be a nice fit for you guys, especially paired there with Randall Cobb. He's your rock. I think Tyler Lockett would be explosive down the field piece for Aaron. I really like that. But you got to imagine, I mean, it would be an absolute travesty. I mean, your number one thing in the draft is wide receiver, right?
100%.
If Olave's there, you're taking him. And oh, Williams.
I am so on board. If we get Olave, I'd be actually happy.
Well, but I'm saying the front office, right? That's what they're prioritizing. Oh,
they should be trying to move up or do whatever they got to do to get him.
Yeah.
Him or Jason Williams are the two best receivers in this draft class. I don't,
because what else do you guys really need, right? I mean, what else? I mean, you, I lost mean,
running back, we're good. You lost Zadarius, but if you look at everybody saying, oh, Zadarius with the Vikings and whatnot, the bottom line is Zadarius didn't play more than three games for us all year last year.
It's true.
So, I mean, we did it without Zadarius. Now, the big piece we had to get was we had to re-sign Devondre Campbell. We got him off the Atlanta Falcons practice squad. He was a Pro Bowl caliber player this past year. He was unbelievable, led the team in tackles, just superb. Like, the return on that investment, massive.
As well as Rasul Douglas. You re-signed him,
That's the next
too.
Thing I was going to say. We got him. So we got Devondre Campbell from Atlanta Falcons, and then the Arizona Cardinals practice squad. We got Rasul Douglas, came out with like just the fire of 1,000 men, had a couple pick sixes, was unbelievable. We re-signed both of those players, and those were the defensive players that we need to focus on. And now the big piece is Jaire Alexander, obviously one of the best corners in football.
Yeah.
So I don't mind. They also re-signed Preston Smith, who I think is a good player. The fact of the matter is they would have had to pay Z a lot of money. So Zadarius, as good as he is, the fact that he was injured all year this past year and the amount that he was going to be asking for, I actually don't have a problem with letting him walk. As much as I liked him, I think it's the right move for us. And I think that we had a top 10 defense almost last year without him for the majority of the league. So of the year. So, but yeah, I just think you get in a guy like DK Metcalf or a Tyler Lockett, and then you can focus on on bringing in an Olave. I think overall we'd be better off than if we just had Devontae Adams. Because I'm not crazy about Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I think he's going to get overpaid for what he provides. I think he's a good.
Well, he's gone, right? He's gone.
I don't know. I think, did he get signed by another team?
Oh, no. Not I don't yet. Think he has, but I don't.
He has, but
sound like. It
he's
doesn't sound like the Packers are interested.
Well, they're in talks. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm saying I would much rather than overpay a guy like that. Yeah. I'd much rather try to go out, trade and try to get, you know, one of these guys or bring in an Olave or something like that. Cause then, you know, you're going to have a top tier offensive player for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years minimum.
Yeah, absolutely.
You agree or no?
No, I do. I think, man, the Packers are a good team. I think I'm just curious because Aaron signed a contract where he obviously could have gotten more money, but it sort of saved cap room. I'm just wondering, what are they doing? They got to bring some.
He said he knew that Devontae was potentially going to walk, and he signed regardless. So,
right. So,
I don't know if they know something we don't know.
They saved from not signing Devontae and from signing Aaron to a friendlier deal.
Well, they got
to
use.
What do they do? What do they? They got to get somebody.
I don't know. They, well, that's 100% it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think sometimes you bring in a young receiver is good. Like, look at you guys in Philly with Devonta Smith. He is going to be a star for years. And I think part of the problem you guys had this year is you guys didn't trust him enough to go to him consistently when you needed him.
Well, I think we did trust him. I just think our quarterback didn't know how to get it to him. But
well, that's kind of just
– and our coach didn't draw up enough play. I mean, he was lost. It was a real learning experience last season for the Eagles. But, yeah, I mean, all interesting stuff. I think the Packers got him. I mean, you've got room. You got money. You got money to spend. Spend it on something, you know? Otherwise, it's just going to be dead money. So we'll see. I mean, yeah, I don't think Rasul Douglas broke your cap or anything. So make a move. But that would be interesting. DK or Tyler Lockett or somebody. Bring someone in. Sounds like, I don't know, a rumor I've been hearing is Stephon Diggs wants out, right?
What?
I feel like he is maybe wanting out of there. He's wondering where his deal's coming from. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he stays another year. It's been
crazy. Nothing will surprise me anymore.
I know. It's been amazing. Nothing will
surprise me. I have a question for you, Ticket. Quick topic, because Bob and I have been talking about this, and we actually brought it up on our podcast. You're a big UFC guy, no?
Yeah, I was for a long time. I've fallen a little bit, but yeah, why?
What are your thoughts on this new, this Patty the Batty guy? Are you a fan? Are you about him?
I'm a huge Patty guy.
Are you really?
Why? Am I getting the feeling that you aren't?
No, I have nothing against him. I think he's electric. I just want to know your thoughts and like what you think about him. I mean, interviews are pretty hysterical.
I mean, the UFC has always got that element of WWE where they try to build storylines, they try to build beefs, they try to get some crazy guys, and that's exactly what Patty is. He's calling everybody out. He's electric. I love him. I think he's great for the sport, and we'll see how quickly they move him up the ranks, because sometimes they get these guys and they don't want to move them up too quickly because they don't think they're ready. Their ego's ready. And their character is ready, but their fighting skills aren't. So we'll see how quickly Dana decides to move him up the ring. But I love him for the sport. I really, really do.
Yeah.
But the last thing you want is to put him up against a guy he can't beat and gets clocked. And then your storyline fizzles. All the work you've done in the marketing department to build him up. So we'll see. But that's funny. I thought you were going to go with Jorge Masvidal or Connor with all this tumultuous.
Oh, Connor is so done, dude. He's finished.
Well, he's part of our rapid fire, so we'll get there.
Okay, let's do the rapid fire.
That's where I was going too. So maybe I'll move one of these NHL things to the rapid fire. You know what that is? What I'll do. We're going to start our rapid fire off with my guy, Philly's favorite, Claude Giroux. Finally got him off the spreadsheet there, and he's heading to Florida, who is just loading.
Florida's a powerhouse.
Up. And when Barkov comes back, I mean, they are loading up. They got Ben Chiarot too. So our favorite guy, we were ready for him to go. We were. I mean, it's just that team around him. We needed a change of scenery, much like the Matt Ryan thing, just a change of scenery. Matt Stafford, but he is still one of the best face-off guys in the league, still playing at an all-star level, and he's just been added to a Panthers team that is scary. I mean, I don't know who's going to take him out. So what are your thoughts on Giroux, the Panthers pickup?
I think he's like a guy that a team is making a play to win the cup is a good piece to add, because he's got some grit. He's got some savviness and experience as a veteran player. And I think like you'll see a lot of the time these trade deadlines, it's almost like a rental player. They'll bring the guy on for their drive to the cup. Obviously Florida's ready to make that push. They got the pieces that they need. And having a guy like that, he can provide additional scoring, but he's not expected to be the main piece there. And I think that a guy like that, that's exactly what he needs to thrive and to be in his element, because if it happens, that's great. Nobody expects it. If not, it's like, okay, you know, he's not that elite player that he used to be, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. But yeah, I don't see anything bad with it. I think if you have a team that's capable of making a trip to the cup and you want to go all in, someone like that, a veteran savvy player, cannot hurt. So I'm all for it. I think it's great for you guys getting him out.
And he said he wants to.
It's hard when you have a love affair with someone like that. You've had him for years on your team. He's become kind of a staple of your team. It's hard to move on, but you got to look at it from a business standpoint. And it was time. It was time to move on from him, you know, and to move forward and get some of these younger players. You guys have some good young pieces. Start really implementing them and building around them moving forward.
Yeah, Flyers need a coach. And Claude Giroux also said that, you know, he wants to be right back in Philly. So like you said, he's a rental, and he wants to sign his new deal in Philly. We'll see if that happens, but he wants to come right on back. So we got some pieces for him. Just want to also say real quick, the Lightning signed Hagel and Nick Paul. They're loading up. The Avs got Josh Manson and Lehkonen, and man, the Bruins got Lindholm. Boy, that's a huge piece for them.
That's a big one.
And the Ducks got every pick in the draft for the next 3 years. I mean, sometimes they sold off.
Not a bad thing to do.
It's great. I mean, they're gonna reload and fire up, man. The Ducks are gonna be
like in another league, like the Dolphins. It's in another league, but same idea. They loaded up. They had, and the Jets too. They had so many picks.
Yeah.
That now you see they're able just to start disposing some of these picks once they start getting the right nucleus of players on their team. And then you can go out and you have an excess of picks and different things at your disposal that you can utilize to go after some big players in the next couple of years. So I have nothing against it. If you're not going to win now, then what's the point? What's the point in just being mediocre? I'd rather be terrible, or I'd rather be a contending team, you know, just coasting through and maybe making the playoffs so you can potentially maybe win one round. That's not exciting. That's not what you want. You want to be a cup contending team. You want to be a championship riding team. And, you know, and that's a smart move for them. I think that's
it is right use play. A few of those picks for young prospects and use the rest for trade bait for some other guys. They got a lot of great young defensive prospects in that deal as well. But anyway, moving on here, rapid fire. We're going to golf.
Yeah.
So we all knew it was coming, but it was officially said that Phil will not be playing in the Masters for the first time since 94. 94, man. Is that a big deal to you, or is that, or what?
100%. It's a huge deal. I mean, he's one of the pillars of golf in terms of what you look at and names that are associated for the last decade and a half, two decades. He's been doing his thing. Him and Tiger, man. I was talking to my friend Berzal about this earlier. I think he's suspended. And Brian is saying, you know, they don't make the suspensions public, so you don't know. They don't announce it. But I Berzal told me he thinks that there's a chance he's suspended for the rest of the year, which would be crazy. I don't know if it's that extreme, but I mean, it's sad. It's sad. The other thing on the flip side is it looks like Tiger Woods is not officially ruled out yet. So we might be seeing Tiger in the Masters, which in and of itself, he could shoot 20 over and it would still be such a good story for golf and for him and his recovery. And it would be just such a good narrative because, you know, you think just so synonymous with the Masters. Tiger winning 2 years ago was just one of the greatest stories of a comeback stories of all of sports. Really, I mean, to come back and win the match, that was truly riveting. I think the world was in awe that he did that. And so to see him be able to come back and really like play his first tournament back after, you know, all of this shit that he's had to deal with since the accident would just be pretty incredible to watch. Do you not agree?
No, it would. And he set it up beautifully where there's no expectations too. People will just be happy to see him. He could come in dead fucking last. He could miss the cut. It would just be great to see him on that level again. And he set that expectation up beautifully. I just wish he was a better guy. I just, I don't like him. But I do always find myself rooting for him. I do. I he's just so good for the game. And you want to see him, you know, traverse and fucking play well. It's always inspiring, man. Every time he makes those comebacks, it's always battles the back, battles all the knee injuries and everything. Yep. It's always inspiring. So we'll see. And the Phil thing.
And by the way, Bob's going to the Masters. So his chance, he'll watch Tiger Woods' epic comeback live and he'll probably, you know, this guy is just, can you believe that?
Of course. It's unbelievable. Are you not, you're not going with him?
I'm not going. This guy, he told me, oh, Cuts, I think I have a ticket for you to go to the Masters. This was on Saturday. And I was like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, I got a ticket. I think he's got two tickets. I was like, Bob, don't throw that out there just so casually like that. And then I didn't hear back from him. And the next day it's like, I'm like, so Bob, like, what's your travel plans? He's like, yeah, I got to go to Atlanta. I said, oh, so you're going to Masters? He's like, yeah. I was like, so what happened to my ticket? He's like, yeah, it's not there. I was like, Oh, thanks. Thanks, Bob. I really, really appreciate the fact that you told me I was going to go and just casually drop the bomb that I don't have a ticket anymore.
But he loves delivering good news prematurely. And he also loves just never delivering the bad news. You know what the bad news is when you just don't hear from him again. When he stops talking, that's it. He'll never tell you. He'll just stop talking about it. And then you're like, oh, I guess I'll get the hint here. And moving on to our last rapid fire, Conor McGregor here. We touched on it earlier.
Oh, this guy's a piece of shit.
This guy's a fucking scumbag. No scumbag or no scumbag?
100% scumbag. Yeah. I've said it for years. I've never been a fan of this guy. I've never, you know, you could say what he, you know, what you want about him. He was good for the UFC. You know, he was a, you know, a big time ticket guy, you know, for Dana White for years. Fair enough. He's a piece of work. He's a scumbag piece of shit. And you know what? I hope he rots in a prison cell one day. Because as far as I'm concerned, this guy thinks he's above the law. He's punching old people in the bar. He's reckless. He's just not a role model kind of guy. And to be honest, he's lost how many of his last fights? The guy's done. He's dusted. Good riddance. That's what I have to say to you. I don't know. I'm very passionate. He's one of the more hated sports figures that I have in my list, right up there with a few others, but like I cannot stand this guy, Tick. I don't need to say anything more about it.
No, the guy's a scumbag. He really is. I'm absolutely done with him. He was exciting and he was fun to watch and he was entertainment, but man, the things this guy does outside of the UFC octagon is just abhorrent. I mean, he is a truly bad guy with a lot of anger and a lot of strength to fucking hurt people. So anyway, that's going to do it for the sportsman. That's all we got. Cutsy's in his last week of work here. This is exciting stuff.
Now, Tigger, are we going to be, is this episode? I had a lot of people hitting me up about the YouTube. I said that we had some technical difficulties or whatnot.
I'm going to fire up the YouTube tonight. You know what I'm going to start doing is it's a little easier for me. I'm going to fire up the YouTube Thursday evening. So that's like a little pregame. If you want to go get the YouTube, that's going to come out a day before the podcast. That's a game changer,
Tick.
Yeah, so that's going to come out tonight. And then the regular podcast is going to come out
when
the
music comes out.
Yeah. Go feed yourself. Because
you want the YouTube numbers to do well, right? We don't want like.
I guess. I don't know much about that world, but you seem to think it's important, so I do it. And
okay. The YouTube is and a lot of people they you know hit me up to say the dynamics more enjoyable when we can see the expressions that you guys have while you're talking and whatnot, which you got to think it's a visual. So I don't disagree with that whatsoever. So all right, if you're listening, folks, sneak peek early drop will be coming Thursday nights on the YouTube for the Sportsman, followed by the Friday morning drop on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, and go ahead and rate us 5 stars if you want. Drop a comment. That's always helpful. Some prick, we've had all great reviews. Some prick dropped a bad star review.
But when was this?
I think it happened recently. I don't check very often.
Good thing I didn't see it. I would have come back at him.
Well, no, he didn't make a comment, which is the thing. Is it's like he just clicked the stars. Like, nah, sucked. And I'm like, I don't. If you give feedback, we can build off
constructive
that. But
when you
just drop a star, like a 2-star or something, I don't even know how to fix it. Whatever that guy didn't like, sorry, the show ain't for you. It's for the rest of the people. All right.
100%.
So go do that. Check us out early Thursday evenings. I'm going to have the YouTube rolling up, and then regularly Fridays we're going to have the podcast coming out on all the other things, the Apple Podcasts, the Spotify's, all what have you. So, but that's going to do it for this week of the Sportsman. Another great episode. Always fun seeing you, buddy. It really is. You look great and you're having a lot of fun out there.
Always have, always will, Tick. I enjoy doing these podcasts more than you can imagine, and I'm happy to have had another successful one in the books.
Perfect. All right. That is Joey Coldcuts. I am the Big Ticket. We are the Sportsman. Till next week, folks.